When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right.
What?
We should get started.
All right, make us.
Is everybody ready?
Why don't you come over here and make me start?
Oh, let me do this.
See, Edwin's got to do this.
He's got to do this. You have a glass of apple juice and tell me you don't have diabetes.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and shoe bitch, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Coordinating Director of Emerging Regions.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Yeah, dined and dashed. Usually they don't follow you to your place of work. Happens sometimes. Part of the game.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week is a voicemail episode. Thank you for calling and leaving us a voicemail. You can at 503-694-9314. Then we'll head to the conference room for a new game sent to us by Mark, which I am super excited for that. Before we do get into that, Alex, do we have any housekeeping to start off with?
I'm just excited about this new game. That's all I can think about right now. Yes. Okay. So this comes out Thursday, which means today, Tuesday, the day we're recording, we released a new episode for our other show, Captive Audience, where we're trying out a kind of a different type of episode called Now Playing, where we talk about movies currently in theaters, currently streaming, currently playing that have just come out. And we just did Saltburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
We took a big old slurp of Saltburn.
Salt
licked our fingers clean, and we stuck ourselves in the dirt and had ourselves a hell of a good time talking about Saltburn. So check that out. That'll be over on our Captive Audience, which is a separate podcast feed. This is why I bring it up. Just a reminder, our third episode will be coming out on this feed, but again, you need to subscribe to the separate Captive Audience feed if you want to continue engaging with us, which you should. We're going to be having a lot of fun. We've recently sat down, made a giant list of like movies we could do for this, ones that one of us haven't seen. I'm very excited. It's going to be a hoot. We will also be putting the Saltburn, all the Now Playing ones will be on our Patreon. Speaking of, great thing to join our Patreon for $5 a month. Get yourself ad-free episodes. Get yourself exclusive monthly mailbag episodes where we talk for hours. Hours.
The December one was years. Hours. For sure.
Yeah.
Years. answering all the questions that come in from the lovely tots, private Discord channels. You can join our Discord. Anyone can join our Discord. The link is in the show description.
And Instagram bio.
Bonus Instagram bio, bonus series, bonus episodes, all sorts of goodies on there. Just at your fingertips. So, yeah, hit us up. Go see Saltburn, by the way. It's on Amazon Prime, and come listen to the show.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I don't like him. His beady little eyes. All
right. Edwin, this is typically where I ask you why we're doing this week, but we're just doing voicemails. Sorry.
We're not just doing voicemails. We always love doing voicemails because it gives us a really great opportunity to talk to people, dude, or to hear from our dear listeners and to get questions, jokes, everything. It's always very, very fun. You know, we always ask you to please leave a message for Andy Bernard. Now it's time to hear. Let's go to the voice bag.
The voice bag. All right. First one here coming in from Brianna.
MSCC, it's Brianna calling from Southern California, co-moderator of our Discord.
Hey.
Just to kind of cut to the chase, you know, we saw the warehouse workers win the lottery on the show, and we didn't really see exactly how they spent their money. We just saw that they ended up back at Dunder Mifflin, right? And I'm wondering how you guys think different members of the office would spend their earnings from the lottery.
Mm.
I can't really see office members getting the pool going and splitting the winnings. I imagine that just like one person would win and, I don't know, quit and sail off into the sunset, right? So I was thinking, like, what would Michael spend the money on? Would he invest in more CDs? Would Aaron invest in Beanie Babies? Maybe Kevin would buy that bar a lot sooner. So I would love to hear what you guys think. All right, thanks, guys. Peace out, secrets.
Thank you, Brianna. Thanks for co-running our Discord as well with Kayla. Yeah, this is a fun one, guys. What would characters of the Dunder Mifflin upstairs spend their lottery winnings on?
The popsicles.
I just thought they were so rich they were always eating popsicles.
Okay, so we can go character by character, I guess.
Dunder Mifflin upstairs. Good shadow name for this podcast.
So who should we start with? Michael?
I mean, Michael would certainly
choose a name.
Michael would probably spend his money the fastest.
Yeah, a lot of failed investments right away. He'd really get started on the R&D for all of his different inventions.
Very impulsive purchases. Yeah, I think he'd probably try and open Mike's Cereal Shack. He'd open Shoe La La at the too much too soon.
Mm-hmm. Toilet Buddy, right. Toilet Guard.
Yeah, he'd be on Shark Tank within months with the Toilet Buddy. How much money are we roughly talking? I don't remember how much the warehouse wins off the top of my head, but
I also don't remember.
I mean, that's going to matter.
That is a good question. I'll just look
six up, figures, five figures, seven.
Let's say it's, you know,
half mil,
$10 million or something like that.
10 mil. Whoa.
Yeah. Let's give him 10 mil.
10 mil. Woo. Well, Oscar's gone. I think there's a few people we can group together. Stanley, I think Oscar, I think Creed,
Jim and Pam to a large extent.
And Jim and Pam, perhaps. I think they just disappeared. They're gone. They're not calling the office again. They're not checking in on anyone. They are gone. I am gone. Like David Wallace. They're out. I think we don't know. They don't want to be found. They don't want to be seen. They don't want them to be heard. Mm-hmm. True Milford men. I think Oscar's moving to Europe right away, probably.
Gil can come if he wants.
Gil can come if he wants. Looking for a way out of that relationship. Stanley's taken his girlfriends, his wives, whatever. He's probably
to the decommissioned lighthouse.
Decommissioned lighthouse. We know what he's doing.
That's right.
He's going to recommission that lighthouse.
Jim and Pam getting that brownstone.
I think Jim and Pam would have to do a split. They would have to buy a place in New York and then also like a place in Maine, right?
That's yeah, I think wants. they'd get Pam's house and they'd get Jim's. They'd get two, mm-hmm. and they would just sort of raise their family in both places, moving back and forth with the season.
That's the rich person compromise. You just get both.
Creed, yeah, Creed's in the wind. He's gone.
Mm. Going after Loch Ness.
Playing a little hockey.
Creed is gonna like hire a bunch of like I see Creed having an entourage. You know, Creed would pay for, you know, mm-hmm. like I don't like when Chevy Chase gets an entourage in Community.
Yeah. Creed could also I don't know how serious he is about the scuba diving, but I could see him, you know, Creed would be on the Ocean Gate submarine. He would probably that's the one that imploded. He would probably do some crazy sea adventure if he is into scuba, like he says.
I mean, Creed, I can see based on everything he says, does, and shows us, he's like part mastermind, but then also part the guy who was regional manager for a while. I imagine him getting an entourage, but then like most of them are like Dwight's friends. That's who I'm imagining in his entourage.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Rolf other thing with Gabor Creed is, and, yeah.
Maybe, I mean, Creed is like, maybe nothing would change. Mm-hmm. Like he might just go about exactly what he's doing. Never had a refrigerator before. You know, he just is like, this, my life doesn't change.
I think that's what happens with Dwight.
Oh, yeah. think so? Think he stashes it?
Dwight, I think Dwight puts it in gold and buries it in Shrewd Farms and then goes right back to work. And doesn't.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
makes a few reasonable improvements to the house at Shrewd Farms.
He's getting that wizard. He's getting a very much bigger pewter wizard.
Maybe a couple more prototypes of the what's the machine that can pull meat from a horse without killing it?
Oh yeah, sure. The sliders. Yeah,
yeah.
Horse boat. I'm imagining like a very beautiful seesaw for him and Moe's. You know. Another place to keep
I'll take the wizard.
More storage to keep his terrariums. Yeah. There's no end to the things that Dwight could do.
There might
be
a rival farm or landowner and he just buys them out. Mm-hmm. You know?
Maybe Dwight buys and revitalizes the stock inn.
There you
the
go.
Cutest little celery farm you ever did see.
Commissions a documentary about Shrewd Farms, Civil War.
He tries to make it all
his own. He tries to make his own.
The Battle of Shrewd Farms.
Yeah. He commissions his own very biased documentary.
Ken Burns, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like rehearsal style, just like creates the battle around his house.
He's got Oscar as a consultant or something.
What's Kelly and Ryan? I want to talk about Ryan and Kelly. What are they doing with this money?
Oh, Ryan and I are back on our Vanderpump Rules lately.
Good.
And what's great about the show is like for a while they all just like live in squalor, like they all just have like these terrible apartments in like West Hollywood, but they just are always like going clubbing, new clothes, like big wild trips. Like that's exactly how they would spend their money. Like they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't like buy any new furniture or anything like that. But they would just be like, you know, getting the table at the club and the VIP lounge and like VIP tickets to shows and buying the most expensive things they can and throwing big parties.
To borrow from Parks and Rec, I could see an Entertainment 720 type of endeavor going on with Ryan
Wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood.
They invest in pretty much things that are awesome.
Right.
Kelly is the ultimate tastemaker, and then they move to a glamorous city.
Yeah.
Right. They probably burn through that 10 mil real fast. The three of them. Oh. I kind of like the three of them moving together. Mr. Understood. Maybe they really go in on the music and like become a real band.
Ryan, Kelly, and Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
You know who I think would do well with the money is Meredith. I could see Meredith just like
Meredith
overnight.
Will do okay.
Meredith overnight just becomes Joe Bennett.
Yeah.
Like most popular businesswoman in Scranton.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's like cutting ribbons.
Yeah.
For like
sends
restaurants
Jakey to,
openings.
Sends Jakey to Yale or something. He becomes a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're
going
to tell your kids they can't have shoes?
Yeah.
A little bit of Joe Bennett mixed with Robert California, though. There's still all the shady.
She's got a harem.
The parties get a little dark.
She's got Bruce living in the in-law apartment just whenever she needs him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's not a lot of fruit in those looms.
Gabe? Is Gabe moving to Japan? Is he?
Yeah, I feel like Gabe would actually do pretty well. Like it might actually buy Gabe a happier life.
Yeah, he'd do smart, boring things with
the
money.
But yeah, he would.
He'd also make some pretty, like, just for him, he would love it, but waste the money purchases. I'm thinking, giant. I mean, he already is collecting katanas and rare perfumes. Like, I think that collection would really get obscure and more expensive. Like, full like samurai suit of armor, full thing. You know.
Yeah.
He'd really buy old artifacts, and then he'd just be a real weirdo.
You guys, you guys ever heard of Shudder, the horror streaming service?
Yeah.
No.
Like it's like there's like a streaming service that's just horror.
Josh Rubin
and a lot of like
of stuff on Shudder.
I think there's like a lot of like it's a big platform for like low budget like indie horror too. Like I could see Gabe is going to produce at least a couple of
that's what he would do. Yeah,
he becomes a horror movie producer. That's good.
Yeah, very niche.
Yeah, opens his own. What would Gabe's production house be called?
Skeleton Man.
Skeleton Man.
That's perfect. Yeah, Skeleton Man. Yeah.
Skeleton Man Productions.
Wow, you had that ready to go.
Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
What about Daryl? Daryl would also, well,
I think I could see Daryl becoming a Bob Vance type, like owning a maybe him and Roy, you know, him and Roy, they just start a bunch of companies that all do really well. I would see them, you know, construction, gravel, like I could see him get into that.
Consider though, like Daryl in Search Committee, or Daryl when he's trying to get the job with Athlete. You know, sometimes he kind of blows it.
But
I can kind of imagine him being like, I won the lottery, made some mistakes. Like, you know, I'm back here.
Happy to have my job back. Those are corporate interview settings. I just wonder, I think the times we see him shine is when he has his own business ideas and his own initiatives that he can act on. And I feel like he would start some shipping company that would just kick ass and he'd do really well. I could see that.
Did we talk about Aaron?
No, not yet.
No, or Andy.
I can see Aaron having a huge house that is just insane on the inside, which is to say, like, it's all of like Aaron. It's like Aaron's solutions to different problems. Mm. So, like, I don't know. I'm imagining like it's all like furnished and it's a beautiful home. But then when it comes to cooking, she just literally orders delivery for every meal. And like, I don't know. It has some kind of like the way that Aaron thinks of solving certain problems.
You're right. Should have a whole fridge of Lunchables.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron's very gullible, and immediately it'll be like people selling her stuff or like all the ads she's getting. She's like, you know, she's getting more and more like expensive targeted ads on Instagram, and so she just buys everything she sees. Yeah.
I could also see at the timing, like, she gets $10 million, and just like the first person who, like a Girl Scout or Boy Scouts come to her door asking for a donation. She's like, I'm going to give you $1 million. I just got $10 million. Yeah. Like,
she's like, I subscribed to every monthly subscription service I could find because I thought I'll have everything I need for the month.
Yeah, like her house is just getting buried in stuff she can't keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, the money's just too much. It's too much. I'm going to get rid of it. Yeah.
Andy, I picture Andy like, this is probably not even enough money to do this, but like if he could just like retire in the Hamptons or something like that, that'd be everything he wanted, kind of, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he really needs approval. He needs family approval.
True.
And
that's true.
I got one for you. He donates enough to build a new or rebuild the Performing Arts Center at Cornell to get his name, the Andy Bernard Performing Arts Center. And he becomes like just a figure at Cornell who's just a rich guy who owns a building and he never leaves and he's always around.
It would be something like that for sure.
And then kind of tied into his attempts to pursue fame of any kind. Like, I think there would be kind of a side career where he's trying to get the banjo off the ground, or he's at like every
open
mic night.
Every play at Cornell.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's at every open mic night at Cornell with the banjo.
He's James Dolan. He becomes James Dolan at Cornell. I don't know. Toby? Toby's, I have no idea.
Toby wants friends. In the end of the show, all he really wants is friends. He's got he uses the roommate thing.
Right.
Maybe he'd start like one of those like incubators, like
a TikTok house.
Oh, yeah. Or like Silicon Valley. But like Edwin, I'm thinking more of like the TikTok house type thing.
I could see him doing that for like writers. Like, he's trying to like find the next great American novelist and work with him.
And they're all just like boring older men, exactly like him.
He just brings Ted Toby's
a good group
to his
guys.
Ranch. He's like, they're really good guys. And then they all realize that all they want is to hang out with each other, and then he just lives happily, barely getting any work done. In a compound.
I'm just imagining five of them sitting around the pool, all being like too awkward to really talk to each other.
Yeah,
like uh-huh.
And then one makes a joke, and they all just like love it.
Yeah, they're like, wow, really good guys.
Or like Toby sets off on like some sort of trip around the world. because he's always got his passport on him because he's always ready for adventure. And then, you know, something insane happens to him while he's at the pyramids or whatever.
Yeah, he gets extorted for $10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just or doing his talking head from prison in Egypt.
Like, yeah.
Or what if he invests in a bunch of local businesses like the Baba Ganoush restaurant, Ernesto's Empanadas. Yeah. Like he really starts to expand the culinary scene in Scranton.
He takes George Howard Scubbs' case to the Supreme Court. Just has enough money to keep getting lawyers. He's wrongfully convicted, I'm telling you.
I feel right, like... I was going to say Phyllis.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say we got Phyllis, Angela, and then we got to save Nate for last because I want to talk about
with
$10 million.
I mean, I think Phyllis just continues to live her life of luxury. It just gets...
Yeah.
I think Phyllis and Bob already have a lot of money, and yeah, it probably for them, they know exactly what they're doing with that money. They're going to move to their dream house or something like that.
They're doing what they're doing, just add a zero to everything that they do cost wise,
right?
And that's what they're doing.
It's like they're both getting like matching dune buggies or something, so now they can go on like dune buggy trips, like RV.
Matching cars, probably, like his
license plate
that says his and hers. Yeah,
vanity
yeah,
plate that says yeah. flob.
Yeah.
Right,
and
Angela?
Then you said Angela.
What is Angela doing?
She starts something for cats. Like a cat academy where they get trained.
Academy.
They learn discipline and
academy. The nation's finest cat school. Like prestigious and religious cat school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christian cat.
I just picture like her reading the Bible to a bunch of cats sitting very
I could see her spearheading or cat some church. Sort of cat show circuit through churches around the country.
A church where you can bring your cat to mass.
There it is. Mega church. Cat mega church.
Cat mega church. That's good. I want to go there.
I'll worship that temple.
All right. You wanted to save Nate.
And Nate.
Man. I mean, first thing he probably does, buy a case of gum.
Buy a gum company.
Gum's gotten mintier. Yeah.
Yeah. Better start Nate's gum.
Have you ever seen Hudsucker Proxy?
You bet I have. I love that movie. That's a great Coen Brothers.
Tim Robbins is kind of like an idiot, but like becomes like a business genius kind of. that I picture something like that.
Like he invents like Tim, the hula hoop.
Yeah,
in that movie,
he keeps drawing a circle on a piece of paper, and he's like, look, this is my like big idea, for the kids. And like, and everyone's just like, he's like an idiot. And then it turns out to be the hula hoop, and it's like, the biggest toy in the world. That's Nate's path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't know what that would be. Something with gum, something with who knows. But I have an idea.
He invents something like the croc. He's like, you know how wooden clogs are just so hard? I'm going to make a soft clog.
That's great.
Everyone's like, okay.
his idea is not what's intended, but it becomes a hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for Nate. All right. I think we hit them all. We obviously David Wallace is doing Suck It. Jan's another one who's disappearing. She's moving to Scottsdale and getting a mansion.
I would like to point out that when we were, I don't know exactly how much time we spent on this question, but before we started recording, we were wondering how much time should we devote to each question. And now we know we've got quite a ways.
I put that one right at the top because a great question that you could riff on.
Any forever. Question that's like, what does each character do? It's like, do we go through all of them?
Yes, that becomes a full episode.
Thanks, Brianna.
In addition to Brianna and Kayla, and you rightfully gave them shout outs for helping us with the Discord. I'd also like to shout out Grim and Meredith, who also help us with the Discord, and everyone else who's on the Discord.
Mm-hmm. Next voicemail from Anne.
Hello, this is Anne from the Wisconsin branch. I have a nice comforter, a few cozy pillows, a three-legged cat. I usually lay awake thinking about Michael Scott Podcast Company mailbag questions, and it's lights out by 9:30, and that is how I sleep at night.
Well, there's the other side of the coin for a voicemail where what else can you say?
That's a great one.
That's great.
I just love a good one like that.
Yeah, I hate being titillated.
Thanks, Anne. This next one's from Tiffany.
Hey, y'all. Tiffany from Des Moines, Iowa. So I have a bone to pick. When Holly first comes on the show, she says she's from Des Moines, Iowa. As you can imagine, I'm ecstatic. Love it. We love some representation of Des Moines. And then her and Michael moved to Colorado. This does not sit right with me. I am frustrated. What do you all think happened? Did her parents just move to Colorado? What story can you make up to make me feel just a little bit better? Thanks for all you do, guys. I found your podcast just a couple months ago, and
hell yeah.
I'm making my way through all the way to the end. So, see y'all later. Thanks.
Thank you. Tiffany.
Yeah,
thank
excited you, Tiffany. That you found us recently. That's amazing.
So yeah, Holly says that she's from Des Moines, Iowa, but her parents by the end of the show are in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened here?
I think her parents moved to Colorado.
I know, we don't know why. It would be nice to have some sort of because all we really hear from them is that phone call where her mom says, "And I have your father." You know, right. I'll put him on the phone. No, mom. So yeah, we don't really hear much from
kind of a heartbreaking scene.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we don't really hear much from them otherwise.
I'll say this, as someone with in-laws who ended up living in Colorado, not crazy. I think in some ways, Colorado is you know, the Florida of the central America.
What?
Central Florida of the how do I say this? No, Arizona would be that. No, it's not. It's Arizona. Never mind. It's a terrible analogy. And then I said Central America when I was thinking like middle, not the Midwest, but the middle part. Florida, all I'm Central saying is America. People move to California. Yeah. For the skiing, mm-hmm. for the golf, what have you. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're into skiing. I don't know. Everyone I know who skis is dead.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I've learned since moving to Switzerland is that it's really the Ecuador of Southeast Asia.
I mean,
Switzerland, yeah. The Colorado of Central Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at the map, I'm like, I mean, Des Moines to Iowa, you're kind of just moving from Middle America to Middle America. Like, it's still like 10 hours drive apart. I don't know. It's I wonder in these cases, like, was it forgotten that Holly's actually from Iowa? Like, why, you know, why aren't her parents just in Iowa at the end? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, people can move after after their kids are out of the house, they might have moved to Boulder right away. You know, Holly can be from Des Moines. Doesn't mean her parents ever stayed there.
I would like to learn more about Des Moines because I don't know that much about it.
That's what I'm trying to do right now.
it looks like a nice Iowa, place. No?
It's the insurance capital
warm.
Of the world.
Yeah.
Right. So you'll be covered. That's good.
Yeah.
It's the Venezuela of the Midwest. It looks like I've always said this.
They have a very nice botanical garden. They have Scranton's a really cool gem. Bridge.
They got a cool bridge, huh? No way.
Yeah, it looks nice.
I would like to hear more about Des Moines. Because Des Moines seems like the kind of place where you'd have like a remote Dunder Mifflin branch.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be ripe.
Yeah. The thing company. Is, though, yeah, if you're from Iowa, you know, I can't see like... I mean, at some point, maybe a family trip, they went to Colorado and they were like, this is the most beautiful place I've ever been after Iowa. And then her parents, as soon as kids are out of the house, they're like, we're getting a condo in Boulder.
Yeah.
Or, may, you know.
Des Moines?
I don't know.
I may be wrong here because I've never been to either of these places, but Des Moines is giving me like a Cleveland vibe. Like, it just looks nice.
Oh,
it just looks like Cleveland. A nice city.
Cleveland, dude. Japan of the Great Lakes.
That was a very funny disclaimer, considering I haven't been to either of these places.
And I haven't, again, having only just met you.
Brian? I'd go with Ravi.
This is an absolute geographic nightmare segment here.
I think it's a dream, personally. I'll never forget it.
I don't know. People retire and move to Colorado, yeah, right? That's not crazy. Just like Florida. Okay.
It's not crazy.
I would say, yeah, Arizona is definitely the Florida of the Western U.S.
I like understood. I understand what you were getting at. But like when I heard you say those words in order, I was like,
I just failed at every turn.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But
to our listener in Norway, that don't take any of those as a saying or a turn of phrase.
But good. Yeah, no, I would love to hear Tiffany. Yes, I would love to hear more about Des Moines and what you would have liked to have seen represented in the
yeah,
in maybe Holly's, because you imagine as well, like in theory, you could also see a scene with Michael and Holly in their new home, which could have been Des Moines if they had followed through with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could also see Michael's face. It's like Iowa. Like I could see Michael, like he'd go there for Holly, of course, but he would have no idea what exists. Mm-hmm. In
you'd be like, Iowa, I've never lived on the West Coast. Yeah.
I'm on facts.net here. You guys will like this. Des Moines has a strong sporting culture with professional teams in baseball, soccer, and hockey, and more. Those are your guys' favorite sports, right? Baseball, soccer, and hockey.
Boxing, right. Tennis, Amazing Race.
Everybody, Oscar found a reason to look on WebMD.
What did you say you were on? Facts.net.
Facts.net.
Guys, I'm here on facts.net. The only source of truth.
Next.
Guys, which is a bigger city, Scranton or Des Moines?
I guess assumed Des Moines.
I'm going to assume Des Moines.
Good job. It's Des Moines.
Nailed it.
End of that segment.
All right. Move on. Message from Megan, please.
Hey, it's Megan calling from Durham, North Carolina. I'm calling because I was rewatching season 2, my favorite season, and I had a thought. I was watching the Dundies episode. I know there's a lot of discussion in the Office community about terrible characters, like characters on the show who are terrible people or annoying, or, for example, the couple that won't just move over so that Dwight can sit next to everybody at Benihana.
Yeah.
My take on this is, after watching the Dundies, I think the worst person is the man who throws something at Michael. Like, he's heckling him, and I get it. You're just trying to go to Chili's to eat with your friends. But he stands up and throws something at someone he doesn't even know just because he's, like, being annoying. So my hot take is he is the worst character in the entire series, but I would love to know what you guys think. I think this would be a hilarious draft, but either way, I want some opinions on if there's anybody worse than that guy. Love you guys.
Thank you, Megan. Yeah, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but maybe it's something for a draft at some point. But the worst people on the show.
Well, I think, yeah, it's the worst. A great call out here, because obviously they're heckling Michael, which is pretty bad. But then Michael tries to engage with them. He says, "Where are you guys from?" Yeah. Michael tries to turn it into crowd work, and they throw something at him, and they say, yeah, "You suck, man.
You suck."
Yeah,
yeah.
And like it, I don't know. Yeah, agreed. That guy is or it's two guys, right? They're terrible. So yeah,
it's like two guys and a girl, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and a pizza place.
It's like TV cartoonish bullies.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You suck. Like, Yeah, throwing something at someone you don't know
in a Chili's setting is
we only hear the manager say that Pam isn't welcome at the establishment anymore. What about those people who are throwing stuff at other customers?
Yeah,
crazy, just crazy. That is a good call. Yeah, but yeah, worst characters. I mean, Frank did it.
Mm.
Really sucks.
Yeah,
like he just seems like an awful person who hates himself and everyone around him.
I've been listening to I listened to this podcast all about the Hatfields and the McCoys, and back in those, like,
oh, everybody, Oscar found a reason to look on WebMD.
People
did you look up the McCoys on facts.net?
No. People used to like have like the suffix like bad or prefix bad, like bad Frank, like that guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyways, feel like that
shitty
guy
Frank.
Yeah. Mm. Bad Frank.
Who else? I'll throw Frank out there.
Well, what's Pam's grandma out there?
Meemaw. Sylvia. Yeah.
Don't
She's just old and harsh. She has a bit of a redemption, a little bit with Michael, once she's like talks to her.
It's that terrible Charlie Rose.
Sean's impressions are like looking under rocks. You don't expect it, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, yeah. Cool. That's so great.
She's definitely top of my list.
Okay, we got Meemaw. Mm-hmm. Frank did it.
Guys from Chili's.
Jim's brothers really suck.
Yeah.
Pete and Tom
really suck.
Grotty.
No.
He's a good... What an unpredictable world.
Why do we think? I mean, we don't think Grotty's. He doesn't do anything that's actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a heavy salesman. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a good basketball player listening to a bad basketball player. Everyone I'm thinking of is like not that bad. Like
there's the
like,
nurse.
Yeah.
There's the nurse at in the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good! You read the books, so you know everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't hate on her too much.
People hate her though. People don't. People don't like her.
But I say you have that job, and you have every day people telling you that you're wrong and that they know what is going on when you're the expert. Mm-hmm. And I bet you'd hit that point too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all would.
Like everyone, I'm thinking of has a reason. Like I'm thinking like Barbara Allen. The lady who's really offended.
Everyone's, yeah.
And it's like, but she has a reason. You know, it's not like I can, you know. I'm just trying to think of people who have, like, confrontations and clashes with the staff,
Jim's,
really.
Jim's childhood friend. Again, he has a reason.
Yeah, right.
Where's your jetpack, Zuckerberg?
The little kid who bullies Andy in the parking lot.
Right, it's a kid, right? Can you really call that, like, a child?
For the sake of this
question? Okay,
yes.
Sure, yeah.
These people.
I hate you!
Robert California. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Robert California for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeff.
We don't know if Jeff's a bad guy.
You're right.
Right? Yeah.
But we know who Michael is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michael's a bad guy. Creed's a bad guy.
Ooh. Luke. Sensei Ira.
Luke sucks.
Yeah, Sensei
Luke
Ira.
Sucks. Sensei Ira.
Yeah. Most people don't spend 10 years and I don't know the number, but like $100,000 becoming a black belt in Taekwondo.
I mean, that's on Dwight. I think Luke's a really good call. There's no redeeming qualities about Luke.
My favorite movies are Citizen Kane, Boondock Saints.
Oh yeah, what's his third one? Or is this just those two?
I thought it was just those two.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about Luke. He's awful. If I had to pick one though, I'd probably go Frank. He really is awful to everything he says and does just makes me feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of people that we're missing. I'm sure people are like in their cars being like,
say this first.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
maybe we're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Senator Lipton really sucks.
Oh, yeah. That's
a good one.
Mm-hmm. He just, because he's like.
He uses people. Yeah.
Backstabs people, uses people. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a politician.
You know, Kevin gives it to him, at least that one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a fun one for a draft someday, though.
Yeah.
Do you think we'd have enough people for that? I think we could pull 15 people.
Yeah.
Who are terrible. Yeah. Jan could be on that list. My God.
Right. It's kind of how you phrase it, how you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, Kathy.
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy. We don't like Kathy.
Come on.
Grand Strangler.
Come on.
Scranton Strangler's
a bad guy. Really bad. I mean, Ryan is a really bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Ryan's rotten.
Brian, the sound guy. Nothing to like about him. All right.
I think we've done it.
Good job.
Thank you,
Megan. Next question from Dave.
Who's the best character on the show?
Todd Packer.
Oh, Todd Packer.
Oh, we didn't even mention. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Thank
All
you. Right. We need that name.
This is a draftable question. We'll have to.
Mm-hmm. That name needed to come out. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. Sorry. Let's go to Dave, who looks like is in North Carolina.
What up, my nerds? This is Dave from Greensboro. I was just listening to your episode on season finales, and you were talking about how a lot of these had romantic cliffhangers, but maybe Search Committee didn't. I think you're forgetting about the cliffhanger of, does Jim Carrey ever get back to his family in the Finger Lakes? He's supposed to be in the Finger Lakes right now.
Finger Lakes guy.
We never talk about Finger Lakes guy.
We never talk about Finger Lakes guy.
I mean, he's a pretty one-sided character. We know one thing about him.
Were you satisfied with Finger Lakes guy when you heard Jim Carrey was going to be on The Office?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah, it's Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, have you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen the thing where it's like The Office with an unlimited casting budget, and it's Jim Carrey as Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be good. no. You're right. This is a cliffhanger. Does he ever make it back?
I mean, I assume there's nothing impeding him from returning to his family, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to keep him there.
Yeah, what's going on with it? He needs a job so bad that he left his family in the Finger Lakes. Is he lying to them about whether or not he's employed? There's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm. There's more questions coming up here.
Yeah.
I don't know which thread to follow.
I'm just walking into this. So it's about almost 2 hours, 40 minutes, almost 3 hours, we'll say, from Scranton to the Finger Lakes. Of which the finger 11 long narrow lakes. I'd never really even heard of the Finger Lakes before The Office, so good on them.
It makes me think of like fingerling potatoes, and it makes me hungry.
There is a Tommy Emmanuel song called "The Finger Lakes." That's how I know it. The guitar player.
Of course. Yeah. The Finger Lakes, the Caspian Sea of the Midwest. This has just become a geography episode.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Did he make it to the...
it's funny, too, because Warren Buffett's character talks about a per diem for mileage, and the Finger Lakes guy could really use it.
No joke.
That's a good point. That shows that he is... not trying to steal from the company, I guess.
Also never know what Will Arnett's big idea is.
Screw the teapot ladder.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. This next one comes to us from Derek.
Hello, this is Derek from It's Always Sometimes Sunny in Milwaukee. re-listening to the show for like a third time, probably. Edwin,
hell yeah.
You say Japanese Hooters more than once. And then everyone just goes along with it. I don't get it. It's Asian Hooters. Gosh, we're going to Asian Hooters. Anyway, I have a lot more I can say. A lot of other phone call ideas. Maybe I'll call again. We'll see. But that one, it was bothering me. So I just had to say something. Anyway.
Wait for it.
funny.
That was like 15 seconds. That was great.
We here at MSPC appreciate a good correction. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we appreciate the corrections.
Yes.
By Jonathan Franzen. but no, please call back in with any questions you may have, call-outs, things that that we've done or said in past episodes. Because, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Asian Hooters.
I shan't make that mistake again. I should, but short.
Short.
Yeah.
Should, but short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Derek.
In your face!
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy looking back. I mean, we're coming up on 5 years of this show. 5 years.
Wow.
Next month, guys. It's cringy to think about all the things we must have misquoted, wrong words we've used over the years. I mean, it's funny that this one's about Edwin, because I'd say he's by far has the least amount of infractions on that front.
Yeah.
not even close.
That's why they are.
And it's got to be me and Sean leading the pack there. So it's funny that this one is calling out Edwin, who deserves that the least.
I will say that early on in the podcast run, we would have people. It's something that you don't know when you're starting a podcast like this, and you know, you assume that, you know, as a big fan of The Office, somebody who watches it all the time, that the quotes would come naturally, that you'd be able to just kind of say them off the top of your head. But and that is a lot of what we do. But right. Early on, people commented that we were missing quotes, and it was true. It's not by a lot, but it's enough that can really throw it off if you're a listener, I think.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. That was something right. That I really, really wanted to try to bring. And I know that we've also heard that I like to correct quotes, but it's, you know, it just kind of helps bring balance to the force. So yeah.
It all balances out. Yeah. I know in the early days when I was still like, you know, I'd be really tuned in and then very defensive with reviews, you know, just very early on when it was like everything was very raw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people would say that. And I was like, you know what? You go start your office podcast, run it for a while, and then you come tell me we got it wrong. Let me show me your podcast, and then then you can come talk.
Yeah. Show me that farm. Yeah.
Show me that farm. But yeah, it's hard. We mess up a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard talking about The Office.
So fast.
We haven't had a very hard life. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah.
Thanks, Derek. This next one from Jacob, Dunder Mifflin Phoenix.
Hey.
Speaking of the Jacob, just want to say we did get a fabulous call from the Thaddeus. Just a personal call to us. And just wanted to say thanks for that, man. Also, we got to have you on the show sometime because we missed you on our 200th episode. So let's talk. Let's set it up. Everybody wants to hear from Thaddeus.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play this one from Jacob.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? It's Jacob Dunham from Phoenix. just hitting an early morning walk. Beautiful Arizona morning. It's actually pretty cold, but I wanted to hit you up. I left what I hoped was your last voicemail of 2023, and now I'm starting in with the first of 2024.
You did both.
Crazy. on the topic of basketball, Suns killed it last night. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I fucking love Nurk. He's awesome, dude.
Oh.
And Grayson Allen. Great additions. I'm not going to echo that anymore, but let's just start the year off right. Let's get back to basics, man. Episodes have been pretty wild and creative, and I love it. But give me let's go with just a classic character episode, you know what I'm saying? Back to the old days of episode 2 and 3 with Daryl and Angela, you know? I know you guys have probably covered just about everybody, but get everybody home on time, you know? But, just some things I was thinking about. Wish everybody a great start to the new year, and look forward to a new app, hopefully this week. Love you guys. Later.
Thanks,
love you too,
Jacob.
Buddy.
Love you too, man. Hey, so we were just, I think we were just kind of talking about this the other day. Like, do you guys know if there's, if any characters that we haven't covered? And is it time to perhaps introduce some part 2s to some characters that we have done before.
Revisited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to revisit Daryl. Like, because that's something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an Angela, just because they're so early in our run. And so, you know, the first few, within the first few episodes that we did, I mean, we did a handful of little test recordings in the lead up, but those were some of our first episodes. So it'd be fun to kind of revisit those again. Yeah. And, but yeah, but then I mean, it does feel sometimes like we get in this thing where we've been doing the show long enough where we've covered a lot of things or we've talked about a lot of things, but some of that can be years ago. So I would love to do another character episode, but sometimes it feels like we've spent all that already. Like we've done all the characters already or met most of the characters already.
Yeah. I think we kind of tried to like, you know, we started to add the pairings, the character pairings, which were like, it was a good way to kind of revisit some people. Especially Michael's just one you got to keep, you know, that's a bottomless.
Right.
Well
we haven't done a Michael episode, but we've done like, 10
Michael in love, Michael this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that
and you're right too about Daryl, because I feel like Angela's a little more intertwined with other plots. Like I feel like she just comes up naturally a lot more than Daryl does. So I would agree. I would love a Daryl revisited.
We should listen back to the Daryl episode and kind of like you know, see what we didn't touch on, and I think that would be really fun.
That's going to be pretty wild, just considering it was almost 5 years ago, and I think we were people and different podcasters.
It's going to be hard to.
I know, right?
It's going to be difficult to listen to that. Yeah.
It'll be fine. It's fine.
How about this? Maybe we can say this right now. We'll revisit Daryl in the near future. So if you have any Daryl related questions or thoughts, email us and put Daryl in the subject line somewhere so that I can search it and find it easily. Okay. mspodcastcompany@gmail.com.
I wonder if we even mentioned Beryl in our conversation in our last episode. Have to bring that up.
Yeah. I don't think we did.
Yeah.
You know what characters we haven't done any, which we could just do an episode, is all characters' kids. Just children.
The children?
Various children that we
welcome, children
we meet across the show, children and teenagers.
You mean like
we'll
what
say.
Episode? I'm just imagining the episode called "Various Children."
Various the children.
Bring your Scranton. Child to work day. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That various children. That's it.
We could do that in anticipation of our coming children.
There we go.
Yeah, perfect. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's take a really quick break, and we'll be back with one more voicemail and some conference room.
Cool. Cold turkey may be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. We're not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor or, oh, let's say, having your boss drag you against your will to a rehab facility. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume. And they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while you're breaking your habit. It's really cool. It's like this little pen device that you just breathe through, and it has all kinds of flavored air. I really like the grapefruit one. There's almost kind of something minty and like refreshing about it. It's really neat. You got to try the new Solano Fume. It's made with a premium walnut barrel and an onyx coated mouthpiece that has a slightly softer finish. Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/Michael and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code Michael to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/Michael to save 10% off the journey pack today.
All right, welcome back to Michael Scott Podcast Company voicemail episode. Already happening. We got one last voicemail, and we're going to get to some other stuff after that. But for now, let's go to Let's go to Cedar.
I hope I'm getting that name right. It's a little hard to hear, maybe.
Cedar, I hardly know her.
This is Cedar Fascio calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Third time caller, maybe, long time listener. Just want to call and congratulate you guys on the upcoming baby. If you hear some noise, it's my baby that I had 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
congratulations.
Fresh.
So get ready for spit up and only sleeping in 2 hour increments. Anyway, awesome. It got me thinking about Philip Schrute and how Dwight and Angela really get married when he's probably like 2 years old. And that only leaves him 3 years to learn the 40 Schrute rules that all Schrute boys must learn before the age of 5. Mm. So I'd like to hear you guys talk about that conundrum. And then also maybe just babies and kids on The Office in general. That is my baby burping. You're welcome.
This is kind of like what we were just talking about too, just a kids episode. But yes, the 40 Schrute rules. He does mention one of the rules. I'm trying to figure out what that one is right
learn
now.
Your rules. You have to learn your rules.
On Reddit, they're trying to compile. People have talked about this before, trying to figure out what they are. Some people say never let anyone walk behind you. 7 out of 10 attacks are from the rear. Hmm. Don't turn your back on bears, men you have wronged, or the dominant turkey during mating season. Mm-hmm. Rule 26, avoid smiling. Showing one's teeth is submission signal in primates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rule 22, never waste goose grease. yeah.
Number 25, Jan loves Claiborne blouses. Liz Claiborne.
Rule 14, always act in self-defense, sometimes preemptive self-defense.
We always have the element of surprise. I guess if the question is, how is Philip going to learn? I think his parents are very motivated and disciplined people. So I think they'll be able to do it.
I think you could start teaching that child at 4. Mm-hmm. And they'd get it by 5.
I feel like Angela probably already knows what the rules are, like between her like time with Dwight and time at Schrute Farms and with what's the aunt's name?
Aunt Shirley.
Aunt Shirley, yeah. I feel like she's up on the Schrute
customs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there should be no time wasted catching that baby up.
Sean, do you have any family rules, anything that you know you'll pass down to your offspring?
Huh. That is a good question. always be kind. You know, stuff like that.
ABK.
Oh my! Shoot, mine's always be closing. That's different. Always be kind. Never do anything to anyone for any reason ever.
Thank you, everyone who called in and left us a voicemail. We could use some more for the next voicemail episode, so please give us a call.
Sean, I hate to do this. I have to request. Could I get a combo impression from you? Can I get Billy Mac? Can I get Billy back as the limousine lady?
A limousine? You got me fucking kidding me.
If you want more context on that joke, listen to our Love Actually Captive Audience episode. Mm-hmm.
Let's head to the conference room.
All
right. Right now, conference room. Topic, potpourri, let's go.
Okay. Mark sent us this.
Mark?
First of all, to start off with, he says, just another push that you guys need to do a draft or mini draft of the best bleeped moments on the show.
Oh, right.
Yes. So let's make sure.
I thought we had, but okay.
I think we actually have.
I believe Mark. I trust.
This is a conversation that we have a lot. But if we haven't, then we'll do that.
We'll add it to the menu, to the schedule. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here's the idea that Mark came to us with. Are you guys familiar with blind rankings?
Yeah.
This is kind of I've seen this a lot on Mind TikTok.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So essentially, you have you're going to rank five things in order.
Okay.
But I'm not going to give you all five things at the start. I'm just going to say them one by one, and you have to pick where you rank them in, you know.
Oh. Okay, but we don't know what the parameters
that's right.
of this. Okay.
Say them one at a time. So,
blind guy McGrandy.
Are Edwin and I submitting one thing, or can we keep our own list?
I will if you guys differ, then I will record them separately.
We don't know what the criteria is. We don't know what they're ranking them for. You're just going to give us five things.
That's right. So I'm going to give you an episode ranking and then a character ranking.
Okay.
I'm going to give you five, and you are going to do your best to place them accurately. Okay.
If we do this as a continued segment, and we should, it should be called Blind Guy McRankings. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We fell into the vat of conference.
I love it.
I mean, really, yeah. The runway for this is infinite, because we could do it, like, even if we do an episode ranking right now, we're only ranking five episodes, so people can send us in different episodes. It's, you know, you could put them in different orders of what that they need to be read. Anyways, just saying,
right.
This is a really good idea for future segments. We'll see, maybe. Okay, so this is an episode ranking, guys. First one is Job Fair, season 4, episode 17. Where would you put that? 1 through 5. Best.
Annoying question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there another criteria on top of this that we have yet to discover, that we will discover afterwards?
We're just ordering favorite to least favorite, or best to worst kind of thing.
Is there any other? Yeah.
No.
And you don't have to tell us. I'm just wondering.
No, there is no secret. The only thing you don't know is which episodes I'm about to say.
Got it. Okay.
So you're just going to say which one is number one is best. Number 5 is worst. Right. Job Fair. So you just have to look at Job Fair on its own and say, how good is this episode?
I like Job Fair. I don't love Job Fair. I love Frank Regan. Love the formaldehyde.
Too much formaldehyde.
I don't love that episode. So I'm going to put it 4.
Okay.
I'm going to put it 3.
Okay. Next one is The Initiation. Initiation. That's season 3, episode 5.
Great.
I'll put that at 2.
I agree. I'm putting it 2.
Excellent. That's Pretzel Day, I believe.
Yeah, Initiation's great.
Yeah, that's an important one. Next is The Whale, season 9, episode 7.
That's a good one.
That is the one with Jan.
Yeah, it is.
Season 9 episode.
I'm going to put that at...
I'm just banking that there's not other 9s. I'm going this.
That's a good one. I like that one, though. I guess, yeah, I'll go 5 as well.
Okay. number 4 is season 1. Episode 5, basketball.
Ooh.
Gotta be number 1.
Number 1 for Edwin.
I'm down to put that one.
Okay. And then finally.
So this goes to Alex's number 3 and my number 4.
That's right. Finally is season 6, episode 19. Do you know it?
The Chump.
St. Patrick's Day.
I like St. Patrick's Day. All right.
So that's, for Alex, that's going to have to be your number 3.
Perfect. That's right where I put it. Great.
Edwin's number. So, okay. So I think you guys did pretty well. You both put basketball as number 1. You both put Initiation as number 2. I think that's a great 1 and 2. You both had The Whale as the worst, which I think, you know, it was the only season 9 episode.
Not a bad episode.
Episode.
At least 5.
You there, man boy.
And then you guys, you know, flip-flopped on Job Fair and St. Patrick's Day for 3 and 4. I think you guys did pretty well on that one. You didn't get screwed and have to put,
basketball is number 1. You didn't have to put basketball at 5 or anything. That's good. I love it.
I'd say you guys won on that one. Next is the character ranking, okay? So here we go. one at a time. First one is Jan.
Ooh.
Ooh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I love Jan.
Hearty really bowl of Jan.
Such a good character. She's just not in it a ton. I kind of want to put her in the middle at three.
I'll go four. We're doing the same thing.
Next is Oscar.
Mm.
Oscar will go three for me.
I will put Oscar four. I say I like Jan.
Okay. Next is Mose.
Ooh. We give Mose number two.
Same. Two.
Nice. Okay. fourth is Robert California.
Oh, five.
One.
Okay. So this is interesting.
Good. I'm glad we had a significant departure. This is going to be my number one.
Yeah, this is going to be your number one. And this is going to be Alex's five. I think this, which I think is kind of appropriate based on.
Is it going to be the guy from Chili's?
The final character is Ping. So just to recap, Alex had Robert California as number one, Moe's number two, Jan, Oscar, and then Ping. Edwin, you had Ping as number one best character of the show, followed by Moe's, Oscar, then Jan, then Robert California. The big
wow. Okay, I'll take it.
I love my ranking. I love it. I love it. Ping, who gets two lines in the entire show.
Yeah. Oh no, yes! Not Ping.
That's the the collective drone. Yeah.
Good job, Mark.
Really good.
That was really good.
Very comedically humorous,
Mark. I would. Man, we could replace a lot of trivia with that. That's fun.
It's really
and
good.
Sean, you can play that.
Yeah, we can do blind ranking with you.
You could play that game.
I would love to. Yeah. How about next one? You get. I'll get to play.
I'll hit you.
Hit us with a blind ranking at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. This is a new thing that we're doing here.
The thing about this is just all in the order that it is presented to us.
It's very important.
It's submitted, it can be very tricky.
Yeah, like, you like can play. You can have fun with that because you guys didn't know that like the last character could be. Like,
could have been Michael.
Could have been Frank.
Michael's like alternate. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So yeah, that is very fun. Did we have anything else for the conference room today, or can't remember?
I mean, we're coming up on an hour. All right.
Well,
I've got something I can keep it for another one. It's a all right. Yeah.
Let's do
what
that.
Part of short don't you understand?
Of course, this was a voicemail episode. Call us and leave us some more voicemails, please. 503-694-9314. Yeah. Send us a blind ranking, maybe, at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Check out our store, mspcstore.com.
Can I say one thing too, Sean?
Yeah.
As far as the voicemails go, I know a lot of people call in. There's a lot of voicemails on there. If yours hasn't been answered, again, please don't. There's nothing like we're avoiding or we don't want to do that. It's just we have a lot of repeats. We have some that work, some that don't with what we're doing. So just call in again, leave it again. We know that might be annoying, but it is, we will get it eventually. I mean, I think Cedar, she said she's called in three times or something. So, you know, we just get a lot and be like Grotty, be very, very persistent. and we'll get there. It's just a big inbox is all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. mspcstore.com, join our Discord, join our Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott, $5 a month. You get to be a Scott's Tot, get bonus mailbag episodes every month, main feed ad free episodes. And you just get to be part of a cool community. Money from that goes to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund as well. a little bit
it's
of
not
it.
Not much money.
Very special thanks to our Scott's Tots for supporting us. Special thanks to Kayla and Brianna who run our Discord, who we heard from Brianna earlier. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd who designs our artwork. This episode was recorded on location in Portland, Oregon, USA, and Zurich, Switzerland.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling and leaving your voicemails, for interacting with us, rocking with us, supporting us after all these years, especially as we move into 2024. It's amazing to have you here. Thank you for being part of this cool little community that we built. Please call and leave more voicemails. I think voicemail episodes are always so fun. There's always like an unexpected element to them. Mm-hmm. And if we get more, we can do more. So just please.
Like we said, 5 years, yeah. Like the topics are thinning out.
Call them in, guys. Call them in. So yeah.
We need your voicemail. We need you now more than ever. Yeah. It's like comic relief.
We're about to do Daryl part two.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just appreciate you being here. Check out Captive Audience if you are looking for more content from us, or join the Patreon.
Yeah.
We're happy to see you wherever you come and see us. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. You are our dream makers. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.